Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review the Parducci True Grit Reserve Cabernet from California. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's really good to be here. And you know what I'm not going to do tonight, Rob?
What's that?
Sing a little parody of the wine.
I know.
Name.
I became
to the tune of Love Boat.
I became musical when I said the name Parducci. Parducci, I would say, is a name in California known for quality. That's not true, though. Oh,
that's harsh.
I'm just saying, it's not. Parducci is named Parducci, probably because someone was named Parducci, and they thought that someone would mistake them for being Italian, which obviously they're not.
It does sound Italian.
I know. On tonight's show, we do have Parducci, a winery I've made fun of before. It's not Fetzer bad, but Parducci historically has not been living up to the fancy name Parducci.
Mm.
Parducci. No, we have their True Grit Reserve Cabernet. What is reserve about it? I have no idea. Why do they have a label called True Grit with boots on it? I don't know.
Homage to John Wayne?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. They have lots of things, though, at Parducci. So who's to say why they have one thing or the other? Now, Scott was concerned that you might think this is still on our trek for a value-priced California-designated Cabernet. But this isn't. This is a Medicino, as Scott pronounces.
Medicino.
Might as well be a Medicino Parducci Cabernet. This one has some acclaim, though. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this, because you need a laugh. This received, and it might be good. Let's just start off with that. It might be good. But this received 93 of the enthusiast points. You know what else got 93 of the enthusiast points? Earthquake Petite Sirah, and that tastes like a dog's ass. Yes.
Caca.
Horrid. So, they wrote full-bodied and bold, but also polished. This wine is packed with black cherry, black accented by cocoa and espresso notes, all wrapped in a velvety layer of fine-grained tannins.
Sounds delicious.
It checks all the boxes for a high-end California Cabernet. Best now through 2029.
Really?
It checks all the boxes for a high-end California Cabernet. So this, folks, is, in fact, not True Grit. It's Screaming Fucking Eagle. What jackoff wrote that? I mean, now, it is I bought it for $17.99. But if you want a value, you can buy it directly from Parducci for $30. I'm just saying.
Well, it's a classic high-end California cab.
Now, I'm sure there's what it is, though. You just don't get $30. You just don't get the bottle of wine. You don't.
Oh.
No. You get nude pictures of the winemaker, apparently. I don't know why. I just, you have to, yeah. I don't know. That's fucking ridiculous. It's aged, though, in French, Hungarian, and American oak, which suggests they don't really pay much attention. And it's 14.5% alcohol. And did we mention it got a 93 from the enthusiast, which is the kiss of death?
Well.
So. And by the way, the Triple B's not on yet. She might be on later because she is excited about our second episode. But she's off currently drinking mocktails or cocktails. Vodka and probably, or tequila. In some sort of fruit juice.
Rob's jealous because
I'm not.
Becky's hanging with the other soccer moms and he's not able to fulfill his inner soccer mom by hanging out and drinking with the soccer moms.
This is the thing. Becky went over there and Henry was like, I want to go with you because I'll play with my friends, you know? And she goes, well, if they're there, I'll call your dad and he'll bring you over. I said, you know what? Becky leaves. I say, Henry, you clean the entire house. and I'll take you over when she calls and says they're there. Otherwise, you know, well, guess what? He cleans the entire house. She never fucking called, and she texted me like at 7. I feel bad. They're all here playing without Henry. I was willing to take his ass over there, but she was a bad mom. So,
I think
poor mother.
Well, I terrible. Think first of all, that I should was, do some investigatory interviews. Get Henry's take on this. I didn't tell him.
I lied and said his friend was sick and having to sleep over with somebody else. I lied. I completely lied.
So when he goes to the game tomorrow, he's not going to find this out.
Yeah, but it wasn't my fault. That being said, I made he and I both steaks.
Okay.
A prime sirloin. Well, it was the Meyer prime sirloin.
Okay, but
I
still,
gave him the better one. And
Rob's got game on the grill previously.
No, I pan technique.
Okay, still.
I had 75 kids tonight. So
still.
Yeah.
Pan technique, mm-hmm. Very good technique on the grill, on the grilling of a steak in the oven on the pan technique.
Well, at Kroger, I found these pre-made butters for steaks.
Mm.
So they had urban garlic, gorgonzola and chive, and the last one was a roasted red pepper.
Always a sucker for that.
Well, Henry went for the roasted red pepper, and I did the gorgonzola and chive. He ate the whole steak. So he's ready for his game tomorrow. So, folks, we're going to take a break, but I'll be right back with Scott, probably, here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. So we're back, folks. Now, I've already revealed what the review was for the True Grit Cabernet. There are boots on the label. It's 14.5% alcohol. They use a lot of different oaks. And it's from Medicino, or Medicino, as you would probably pronounce
it. Wines you might know from this maker. It's Medicino Wine Company.
Medicino.
Zinfomaniac.
Yeah, we know that one.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
Yeah,
that's
exciting. Slices, which we've made fun of. But
yes.
Sketchbook. Sketchbook's decent. It was actually one of my dad's favorite wines. The Paul Dolan, the Parducci itself, and then I don't know Moniker.
Nobody knows Moniker.
It's single vineyard.
So,
single vineyard Chardonnay from Libera.
Libera?
Libera.
What the fuck is Libera?
Vineyard.
I'd never heard of that.
It's
probably an $11 single vineyard Chardonnay. Maybe it's golden. That's nice.
The Zinfomaniac's quite misogynistic.
Yeah, slightly. And it probably tastes like ass.
Well.
But in the glass, which rhymes with ass, this looks like a slightly translucent but decent-looking Cabernet.
Yeah, it's not the densest thing.
No. It's dark, mind you, and it's a dark crimson, but you can always tell the concentration in a wine where it's inky and it's rich and dense-looking. This isn't quite that.
It's not there.
No.
It's just the light penetrates it. It's really just has to do with the light penetration, what you can see through it. And it's not the densest thing. It looks pretty in the glass. I'll give it that.
Slithery. On the nose.
You would know about slithery.
Are you suggesting some sort of, sex thing?
Suggesting you're slithery like a snake.
Because I would suggest that. Scott, would you like to see a snake? Would you like to walk a snake? Strangely enough. Small snake. But that's okay. It's not the size that matters.
Oh, Lord.
It'll get you. It's got fangs.
The nose is okay-ish.
Raspberry.
And a little grape jammy. It's a little jammy for me.
Sit rep, folks. They are playing Twister, and then she'll be home. Sit rep. Becky is playing Twister. I don't know what fucking kind of parties they go to, man.
If I knew it was that kind of party, I'd have stuck my in the mashed potatoes. And
a bunch of soccer moms playing Twister. If that gets you going, rock on.
If it doesn't, I don't know what.
At least we can make fun of him tomorrow about that. Drunken Twister. Half of them will probably end up with chipped teeth and, you know, bruised ribs. And speaking of chipped teeth and bruised ribs, it smells muddled slightly. There is a menthol vanilla aspect to it that I normally associate with something that is not as natural as it should be. What are you watching?
So I'm on the company website. And
what company?
There's a video. The guy just started talking.
I don't want to listen to him.
He's got a Buddy Holly kind of look.
Is he talking about his wine process? They go to the factory and they press the button. That's their process. I put on a hard hat and a high visibility jacket. Then I go in and I press the button.
Well, it's mostly a vest.
Yeah,
but,
that's right.
You know,
well, during the winter, well, they don't get that cold, do they?
I cut the sleeves off to make myself a little more manly.
Yeah. Well, maybe this smells. I don't care. I've never smelled a wine that smells like this that I enjoyed what came after. Let's just say that.
I can't say that. We've had wines that the nose has been
grape jelly.
Yes. That have been fine.
Yes. But this checks all the boxes for a high-end California Cabernet. Smells like a breakfast cereal. Check.
It does.
Smells like a Pop-Tart. Check.
Who had a
Frankenberry loves it.
Sugary cereal. A grape flavored sugary cereal. Was there a like
Frankenberry? There's one with those fucking marshmallows.
Is it grape or is that a?
I don't know what the fuck it was. I didn't eat it.
What? You did eat Frankenberry.
No.
Well, you didn't because when mom bought it, you got scared.
Well, yeah, maybe a little bit. I just ate bran cereal and shit everywhere. That's what I did.
Yeah, of course.
Let's just get this over with. True Grit. Yeah, when I'm thinking about a tough hombre, wait a minute, this is a southern man. I'm out west. This is the western cowboy. Same damn voice because I only have one of four of these kind of voices. So when I'm out there with my cowpokes and my hombres, wearing my cowboy boots and spurs, I like to drink a grapey Cabernet. You know why, Scott?
You're the southern man.
No, this is the western man. It's the same voice because I only have one voice. But you know why? Because I got True Grit.
I think you like this because you're the southern man.
If a wine's named True Grit, wouldn't you expect it to be somewhat, you know,
burly?
Yes. True Grit in a pink novelty glass. Here we go. I suppose it checks all the boxes of all you drink is fucking Josh. Oh.
I think you're doing a disservice to Josh.
Hey, this is dry.
Yes, and Josh is... Okay.
Let's level set here.
Josh has a little more appeal than this is ever going to have to anybody.
Well, actually...
This is nondescript.
Let me talk about what it is. Yeah. It's... an okay Cabernet. This might taste better later, too, once it opens up. But
and in true fairness, this has been decanted like 30 seconds before we started the show.
Yes. Now, the thing that this wine is already starting off with its foot in a hole, considering the enthusiast gave it a 93. There you expect something in a 93 that is somewhat of a cohesive, you know, elegant product. You're expecting something better than just, oh, it's got some nice fruit and some tannin and some oak. And this has some nice fruit, some tannin, and some oak. But you're expecting something that's a well-integrated, sorted-out, wonderful example. That's what you're expecting for a 93. You're not expecting, you know, somebody playing the banjo in the back making out with their cousin. This isn't quite that. I mean, but the cousin's, you know, they're attractive. It's a very attractive cousin, and it's more of a third cousin, so you kind of like, okay, let that slide. But still,
Does the cousin have all their teeth?
Yes. No. This is a fine-looking cousin. Very attractive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you understand to a certain degree it's still wrong, though.
No monkeypox?
What kind of cousin party are you at? Jesus Christ.
It's your party.
It's a monkeypox party?
It's your party.
I don't have a monkeypox party.
So, teeth, no monkeypox, and they're not playing Twister?
No. I mean, look. That's actually not bad at all. It's actually a good $17 Cabernet. I'm not going to buy it, but because there's stuff at 20 that is so much better than this. If it didn't get a 93, we'd be sitting here going, okay. I can tell you this is the epitome of a 86, 87.1.
Yeah, my thing.
Which is a good score.
Yes, and it's just, for me, take away the astringency, the dryness of this, what do you have? Do you get that cherry? No.
No.
Do you get that chocolate, cocoa? No.
No. It's black fruits, first of all. It's not cherry.
And they're just kind of nondescript, too. It's
that's absolutely. It could be a little bit of a blackberry, but it's more cassis than anything.
Yeah.
And even then, it never really leans into it. It's just more the fleshy feel of it. And you can taste a little bit of the blackberry.
And I'll tell you what I don't like about that, the cassis. Normally, you have a California cab that has cassis, it demonstrates cassis. You're getting that chocolate with it. And without the chocolate, it's just odd to me. I think that's what's bugging me.
Maybe
about
this needs
wine.
To age till 2029.
Yeah.
You dry that. See what happens to you. Yeah. This would go 3-4 years.
Maybe.
But
maybe.
No, it would. But, you know, I think this is just a rebadge Paul Dolan because they have a cab from there, too. They're poaching on themselves a little bit. It's drinkable, though. It's perfectly drinkable.
I wish it had more body. It's
yeah. It hollows out the mid palate. That's the problem.
Yes.
Not to
where
a,
the chocolate should be.
Not to a massive degree, but enough. And then the oak isn't bad. It doesn't go sour or whatnot. Mm-mm. But the hodgepodge of oaks make it not really have an identity. I'm glad they didn't go full blown American oak because a char would have overpowered this and really fucked it up. But just go with French oak or go with Hungarian oak. Give it some spiciness and some depth. Don't go for the sweeter vanilla notes. This definitely don't do that. But just lean into that. I know it's more expensive and you don't have any money, but lean into that the nuance of the French oak or Hungarian for that matter. And you're going to get something that's a little more, Hungarian's a little more neutral, though, isn't it? But you're going to get something that's a little bit, it fits the mold a little bit.
Yeah.
You're going to have more of a savory black fruits, which is unusual, but savory black fruits, it's not going to really change the mid palate much, but it's going to round it out and really complement what's there. That little bit of American oak holds it up a little bit for me because it gets a little bit too hard-edged American, just a pop of char. I don't want that. Because this wine doesn't lend for that.
It doesn't have the body for it. It doesn't have the mid palate for it.
No. It almost tastes like, I think you could take this grape stock, Scott, and oak it correctly, and you could pass it off for one of those $15, $16 French Bordeaux-esque things that we drink. That we like.
I think this is a
you could
cab
do
that screams for being in a blend. You know, something to give it some more body.
I didn't see if it's blunt with some. I'm sure it is, but
I don't think so.
Well, if it is 100%, just adding maybe 10% Petite Syrah on this, and I'm not normally one that would throw my hands up and say do that, but
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what else would you put in there?
Petite Verdot.
Just to go cab Petite Syrah be a little bit of an oddball.
That's what they do.
But, I mean,
I'm sure they don't have cab franc. I'm talking about what they have on hand at Parducci. They have Petite Syrah. Don't put Zin in there. Merlot, no. Something that has a little bit more Cali to it. Because it's somewhere in between. It's oaked similar to a Cali wine. But the body, the fruit, is a little bit... It's not quite French because it doesn't have... Okay, it tastes like... It tastes like a bigger boxed French. Not quite like the... what was that we had? The... Rothschild D... You know, that stuff... the $17 mask. Yeah. That was a lot more, you know, more Washington than anything. But it isn't a bad wine at all. There's something there. It just doesn't have enough verve or it doesn't stand out enough that you would say, let me take that off the shelf and buy it. It would at 12. It would at 12. But at 17, it doesn't. Because no. You're getting up into... You can get into some inexpensive Alexander Valleys up in there. Edge is right there at 20, you know? You know what this reminds me of a little bit? Less weird, but remember the Jacks that we hated?
This is better than that, but yeah.
It's a little bit more short. But yeah, it's a little... What is it going to be? That had some oddities to it, but...
And where this doesn't. I don't like the cassis without the some kind of cocoa chocolate coffee thing.
I don't dislike the cassis. It would just be, that's what it needs.
That's exactly it. It just seems naked without it. It could use a pop of sweeter fruit with it. You know, that cherry they talked about that they lied.
It's getting better, though. I think it's actually going to be better as it opens up. I really do. It's not a bad wine at all, though. It really isn't. I made fun of it because it's Parducci. But there's so many wines anymore that, you know what? Let me get off on a tangent. It's not really. I was talking to a wine salesman, and he's been out in California recently. I mean, most of us have, but not Scott. But he was out. Where was he at? Oh,
when were you in California?
It was. He was talking about talking to one of the winemakers, or wine chemists, as they call, about prisoners' wines, and prisoners. Prisoner wine, in case you didn't know, folks, is factory made. Whatever you want to call it.
What?
Yeah, they go, anybody can make what Prisoner makes. We can buy the grapes, and you just mix them the same way. It's going to taste exactly like Prisoner or the desert wine. Any of them. Because they're all just... And he was lamenting, I was lamenting, and he agreed with me, that they're losing a lot of the artistry. And I'm sure there are many people that would agree with me in California. When you're doing that, obviously you can make more profit. That's how Meiomi makes a bajillion cases because it's a factory line that where they're just buying grapes and dumping it in there, and whatever comes out, and they add and add and add to make it the same. And they add Purple Death if they need to. They add to make the recipe match. But that's not what wine's supposed to be.
No.
It's supposed to be something where there's artistry, and I don't want to sound like the old winery guy, Trowbridge, but... He's right about the mystique and the history of wine, and it's important. It's important to people like us. And I think if you're listening to a wine podcast, unless you're listening for dick jokes, and I'll get to those here shortly.
Are you going to draw some?
It's important to you, too. Oh, I might. No. I saw the cork. I drew a penis on a blank cork up there, and I saw it the other day. It's nice. It's a nice drawing of a dick.
You're such a dick.
No, it's very, very representative. It looks lifelike.
You've studied these...
I've seen a penis or two, yes.
Have you?
Mine, yeah, mostly.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Magnifying glass.
Oh, no, no.
Multiple mirrors?
I had to stand back from that thing. Hit myself in the forehead.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
With what? The mirror?
No, with the base of my dick.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right.
You're the base dick.
It's in Texas right now and here.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right.
Texas wouldn't have you, sir. So you know what True Grit has that we need to consider?
Dicks? No?
They have a reserve brandy.
Yeah, I saw that. What the fuck would I want that for?
Because you could.
I could, but I won't.
Why wouldn't you?
How much do they charge for the reserve brandy?
It can only be shipped within California. So we missed out.
Okay, but how much does it cost?
65 of your
They
American
can
dollars.
Suck a dick. Brandy doesn't cost that.
It can.
It can if you're stupid.
If you're True Grit.
The True Grit. What the fuck, man? It's called Parducci. What the hell? True Grit. What the fuck is that? There's nothing on the website that suggests what True Grit is from anything else other than a line. I believe it's what they consider their reserve, but I don't really see where they're holding it.
Well,
it's not a special selection.
All
of
the
vineyards.
True Grit are reserve, so I think maybe it's just the name. You said, what reserve is that? Well, it's not. It's just the name of the wine is True Grit Reserve.
Yes, the regular Parducci they make from the Walmart parking lot. This is in the field next to the Walmart parking lot, ergo reserve. Thank you.
Isn't that called Best Buy?
No, it's Target, actually.
It's Target. Yeah. Now,
I'm sorry, Target.
Target's not beside the Walmart.
No, but they have a bunch of cheap shit. I've never liked Target, mind you.
Oh, Target has cheap shit when you're talking in the same paragraph as Walmart.
I don't go to Walmart either. So, fuck them all.
I think Target's fine.
You would. You like the French. So do I, though.
God. We like French wine.
No,
it's
just...
Retail store in the United States.
Jank. They know they're all in the United States. Except for a few people.
Target's fine. A lot of people really enjoy Target.
I know. They're really cool to talk to at parties.
Well, I like Target. You know what I got at Target? Nobody's listening to me.
Because they talk to themselves in the corner. That's why. My wife probably... One of those people. They play Twister.
We play hi. Let's play Twister.
But then you could
who fuck plays
go
Twister?
To Walmart.
Okay.
And end up on a people at Walmart YouTube video.
Yep. Scott, if I said to you right now, let's play Twister, you would give me a funny look. Then you'd strangely say yes.
I gave you a
you know
funny
what?
I gave you a funny look when you said Becky was playing Twister.
You know what the best thing about Twister is, Scott?
What's the best thing about Twister?
You know what how I play it?
How do you play it?
Well, first of all, you have to be completely nude.
Oh, boy, there's a surprise.
And then you cover yourself in baby oil, vegetable oil smells, but you know, you wash it off. But still, some sort of oil, not motor oil. I've learned that the hard way. And then you know
the hard way.
You know what you have to do then?
What do you have to do then?
Find someone else to play Twister with you, which is easier said than done. So sometimes, Scott, you know, if you have somebody that doesn't want to play,
yeah,
it doesn't want to be in your house, didn't want to be in your car.
This is why you ended up in jail.
Van. But that must have
been
involuntary Twister competitors are really difficult because, first of all, if they're conscious, which they're not always.
Oh, Lord.
If they're conscious, they're damn hard to pose. But if they're out of it, they're unconscious, then they're really hard to pose.
Pose.
Because they cheat. They're just flopped out on the mat. And you're like, no, no, a foot on red, hand on green, dickhead. But then they're passed out. So what are you going to do? Frustrating, Scott. But you know what? I've won so many Twister competitions with oil on my body via disqualification. I'm a champion. It's not the same as winning regularly, but, you know, I consider it good. Yeah.
You're the Twister Hall of Fame.
I am. I mean, there's different qualities. I submitted my record to Twister. Hasbro, isn't that the company?
Something like that.
Yeah, and with all the videos of my matchups.
How did that go for you in the clink, in the pen?
Well, that's how I
in
got
the jail.
Hasbro being they're not woke. They sent my videos to the FBI, so you know that didn't go too well.
Did you get to play Twister with Hasbro in the jail, county
no,
jail?
But there's this guy named Butch. And it wasn't so much Twister. He took one position, and it was fine. But I feel like I won and lost that matchup.
I'll bet you did.
I did not report that, but I did videotape, and I sent that to Hasbro. Fuck him. He didn't like that either.
Oh, Lord.
Just happens.
True Grit.
Well, folks, we're going to take a break.
Jesus.
And be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, Scott, you and I.
No, I'm not playing Twister.
No, we're going to talk about if we were going to
play Twister.
No. You know what we're going to do is we're going to pair wines with board games.
Huh.
I don't know why.
That's a good question.
I don't know why. I had another idea, but I forgot about it.
Yeah,
that's what talent is. I'm able to think on my feet, adjust. So,
our favorite board game would be marbles, right?
Yeah, but is that a well-known game? Think of it.
We play a game called Canadian Marbles.
It's like Trouble. Let's go mainline games. Trouble.
So Canadian Marbles is like a spin-off of Trouble and Sorry. There's backward cards and switch cards, except it's all played with four men, which are marbles, and there's teams, so it's fun. There's strategy and luck of the draw because of the cards. And I would pose the perfect wine pairing for Canadian Marbles is anything by Turley.
Well, yes. Alpatagua also has done well for that, too.
Yeah. Because it's a classic game. You got to go with classic wines.
How about, and this is a popular game in my house, the game of Clue.
Okay.
Now, Clue, you know what it is, folks. But I think Clue, first of all, port would be lovely with Clue. But I play with my children. But port or Cabernet. But let's be specific, Scott, like you were with Turley. Let's talk about an exact wine. Let's break it down.
I think we would want a fun port.
A true gentleman's port by Rodney Strong.
That was a good one. I was going to go different, a little more budget and entry, and okay, a little more available. I was going to go Coburn's Tawny.
Or Presidential Port.
Okay.
Let's go Presidential Port. Folks, Presidential Port, if you find it, certain markets you can find it. That's the only thing you have to drink ever. They're Tawny and they're Ruby. And I'm not talking about expensive stuff. I'm talking about $13 bottles of port. That is the best value port that exists. Period. The Tawny is the finest value port that exists. Nothing is better in a value price sub 15 than Presidential Tawny Port, and then their Ruby. I mean, I like Penfold's Club, and Coburn's is good too.
Yeah.
But they are not in the same ballpark as Presidential. Scott's never had Presidential. But we can get it on Vivino.
Didn't we somewhere have the Ruby?
Yeah, you and I have had the Ruby.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
The Ruby's not my favorite.
It's a good Ruby, but the Tawny's the best. Chutes and Ladders.
You know what's weird?
What?
That's exactly the game I was thinking of.
Yeah, next. I never liked that game, but Chutes and Ladders.
So you're playing this with Luke.
He doesn't play, but...
And he's probably going to injure you if you beat him. So maybe you have to be cautious in your wine choice.
Mm-hmm.
Chutes and Ladders. A New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay, you have to name which one, but beyond that...
No, I don't.
Okay.
No,
why?
No, I don't.
Why New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc?
Because you're playing Chutes and Ladders.
I don't understand.
It's not a complex wine, but game, but it's fun. You know, it could brighten your day, similar to tropical fruits and a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. And you're going to want to stay relatively sober because you're playing against Luke and he's probably going to hurt you if you get a little intoxicated. So the, you know, relatively lower alcohol content of a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc would probably serve you well.
I'll do better. An Alsatian Riesling. It's under 10% alcohol.
And you're really afraid of your son playing beating
you. No, if that's what we're going to. So,
I think that's a little obscure.
Albert Hummel? Yeah. No, it's not obscure. I had it.
It is obscure.
I just had it at, what's the restaurant in Columbus?
Okay, we're going to do a little informal poll.
What?
Asking the listeners. Raise your hand if you think an Alsatian Riesling is obscure. All our listeners in unison are raising their hand.
Not the people that are educated.
What's that mean? They don't know what obscure
means? No, that means they don't care for banjo music. What's wrong with banjo music? Me and my hombres are wearing our cowboy boots and spurs and spitting that tobacco on the ground and drinking some sarsaparillas. We love some banjo music, Scott.
Sarsaparillas. I'm pretty sure the Southern man's group of friends.
This is the Western man, Scott. The country and Western.
Definitely doesn't drink sarsaparillas.
I drink some sarsaparillas. That's right. And Pardoochy Dry, A True Grit Cabernet. Although the wine guy is starting to kind of warm to this wine, not 93, because that was given by someone who owed somebody money. And has a problem with methamphetamines, but still, you know.
It's a lot of points.
That's a damn straight. If you owe your drug dealer $900 and you happen to review wines for the wine enthusiast, a good way not to pay that off is to give a bullshit review to the True Grit Cabernet Pardoochy.
I've got a good board game for you to pair wine with.
Stop using methamphetamines. What's that?
Amphetamines?
That's right. I was using some crank, and now I'm fucked up. Go ahead.
Southern man meets fat ass.
I'm Western man. That sounds just like Southern man.
The board game that requires a battery.
What?
Operation.
Oh, a battery.
Yeah. What do you pair the board game Operation with?
That's a good question. Interesting. Let me think about this for a second.
I've got an idea.
You know what? You're pretending to be a doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because I am, you know, I'm going to say Duckhorn Chardonnay.
You're close to being right, but not quite there.
That was right. It's not written down.
Oh, yeah.
What is it? What do you think? Doctors drink Chardonnay in my mind, so there you go.
Dr. Lucens Riesling.
Why?
It's Operation. It's Dr. Lucen.
Only the most thought out, because it says doctor in it. Okay.
Well, it's great. It's having an operation.
Okay. Well, they're base Riesling, man. You need an operation after that.
No, Dr. Lucen's great.
Well, but dialysis isn't. No, Dr. Lucen can be great. Their base Dr. L requires dialysis after you drink it.
No, we had it.
You apparently forget about it.
Bad.
It was back when you were lusting after Contessa. Remember that? You're talking about you were in some sort of club and you saw Jeffrey and
you said was
Joffrey.
Yeah. What do you mean by was?
Why, man? We haven't talked about that in a while. How you have a hard on for her, but yeah.
I wouldn't say hard on. I just really appreciate her cooking shows.
In fairness, it is true. We should not refer to you and hard on because that just doesn't happen. That doesn't. Semi-soft on. How's that sound? Make you more comfortable?
I
can be more specific to your state of affairs.
It's a family affair.
Or beep on. How's that sound? See, folks, I told you we'd have dick jokes. Even though Scott's dick is a joke.
We didn't tell you.
I said that. Yeah, that's true. But that's lame. And the final game, Scott.
Oh, the final game.
Mm-hmm. The game of life.
The game of life. You can learn about life when you play
two games.
The game of
life. We have one more game after this. Two games.
You learn, play the game.
Do you have an answer?
Life. You know, life. The game of life. Is like a former favorite president of yours.
Taft?
I'm going to
Woodrow
pair,
Wilson. Oh, only the racist ones.
I'm going to pair. And ones that ran us into bankruptcy.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to pair the game of life with Trump.
That's, Well, it's Eric Trump, pretty much. But his little lily white ass is going to prison probably too. So well, they'll love him.
I don't think they'll go to prison for the.
I wonder if he'll get to play
New
Twister.
York City.
I think so.
Lawsuits.
No, he'll get to play Twister. No. Oh my God, Fredo. He's basically Fredo. Fredo gets to run a winery, but Fredo did a pretty good job with that. That's actually very, very good. I like that.
We like that wine.
No. What you just said.
Oh, well.
Outside the box. But I'm going to think of the game of life normally is kind of disappointing.
Well, you're kind of disappointing. You just have trouble getting the little pins in the cars.
I say fuck that shit. Because they fall out, man. They fall out.
That's why Becky puts the children in the car seats, because you're not able to do that. Otherwise, they would fall out.
Mm. I'm going to say, seeing that everybody drinks the shit, Mayomi. I'm not going to drink it.
The game of life.
That's what everybody drinks, apparently.
Well, come on. You drank Mayomi, and it's not that bad. We really critique it a lot, but it is the Bud Light of wine.
I've had a cold sore, too. It's not that bad. No, it's not that bad, but it's still a fucking cold sore. Jeez, I've had jock itch before. Is it that bad? Eh, it's not that bad, but I've had jock itch. I don't want it again. I've had COVID. Is it that bad? Actually, that is that bad, so I don't want that again, but still. You've had COVID, too?
Yeah, I've had COVID, too.
You've had also gonorrhea and syphilis?
No.
How'd you have it at the same time? Oh, no, sorry. The last one is Monopoly.
See, I think Monopoly is such a long game. You're drinking Schaefer
Hillside Select.
Yeah, that's it. No, if you're playing
2018.
If you're playing Monopoly, you need to drink bourbon.
Why?
Well, because it's Monopoly.
We're a wine program.
First of all, who plays Monopoly?
Well,
if I play Monopoly again, I'm gonna play that game where you pass out about half the properties to get started, so it doesn't take 9 hours.
You know what? Next time we're all together, we're playing Monopoly.
Jesus, I hate Monopoly.
You should.
I hate Monopoly.
You lose, probably.
No, nobody ever wins. Everybody loses when you play Monopoly.
I like Monopoly. I do. But I'm going to say Schaefer Hillside Select. I'm not going to go Harlan or Screaming Eagle because we have this. True Grit.
Schaefer TD9?
No. Not Schaefer TD. Schaefer 1.5 or 0.5, whatever it is. Their actual Cabernet. Not the non-ageable $70 Bordeaux blend. No, I'm not going to drink that. Although, I mean, somebody bought it for me. I've had so many opportunities to buy that, and I don't. And you know why?
Because you're wise beyond your years. It's not worth the money.
Yeah, I spent all my money on Marquis de Osamay Chateau.
You know what's not happening for me?
What?
Enjoying this wine anymore because it's opening up. If anything, it feels like it's flattening out to me.
I don't know. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Folks, so the Parducci True Grit Reserve Cabernet from Mendocino. One thing I was saying off the air that I'm going to repeat. The review really, first of all, we're drinking this wine, maybe me more than you, but the review really did this wine a disservice because it oversold it. Becky would say, if she were here,
I don't know, I think the wine reserve is so...
I can't speak Russian, so I can't say how she normally talks off the air, but...
They oversold.
Shaking my head.
They oversold the wine with the review. And I know that's not Parducci's fault, but they did pay for that review. So it is partially their fault. It's like, come on, man. Don't act like that you were like in the pocket. But checks all the boxes of a high-end California Cabernet. Well, first of all, that's dumb.
Does it count that they wrote the review if Wine Enthusiast actually edited it and put the commas and periods in?
I don't.
Does that mean that they it's original?
First of all, you're assuming that Wine Enthusiast knows where commas and periods go. I do not think that. You know?
That's harsh.
If Wine Enthusiast is finding any way to be relevant and like make money, if they could put nude pictures of James Suckling in there, which I'm sure exist. Oh, they do. They're glorious too. They would do that if they thought it would make a buck.
Or
because, I mean, Scott, they're relegated. First of all, Wine Enthusiast, I used to be subscribed to that. A very inexpensive magazine. Very. And if you don't read the reviews, which you shouldn't, the actual magazine is just as good as Wine Spectator. So if you like the articles in Wine Spectator and all that stuff, but you don't want to spend as much and you're not concerned about reviews, you just want to read about wine and different regions and stuff like that, Wine Enthusiast is a great magazine.
And, I think they have, they've got some different catalogs for selling different products.
Yeah.
But they've got good products, I think.
But the magazine, very good magazine and very, very reasonably priced. The reviews, terrible.
Well, it's just they're very enthusiastic.
Scott, they try to do spirits. They do value. They do seller. They split things up too much. And I don't even think that they don't really say what their qualifications, their judgments are. But I think that price does come into it because that's where this is. I'm going to go first, obviously, on the True Grit. But I don't think this is a bad wine. We're going to take another drink of it. I've been drinking it. I like it.
Rob likes it.
But a 93 makes it asinine. Well, that's not the one. Well, like
no,
I said.
When do you like it?
All right. 87 of my points. And I don't care if you don't give an 87. But and I'm going to say 85 to 87. It is not an 88. Not an 88.
No.
I will fight someone to the death.
I'm right in the middle of that. I'm 86.
No,
and it just,
perfectly fair.
And it just, I think there's a couple things that, one, it just bugs me a little bit. It's, mm-hmm. It's not that it's incongruent. It's not that it's broken up. It's just, there's certain wines where the elements of the wine, if they were put together with in other wines, you'd say this is a great element of wine. But the way this wine's put together, the cassis, without a mid palate per se, but more to the point, if it was followed up with espresso, cocoa, chocolate,
something,
just
and there's stuff
something.
There, but it's more residual fruit that, and then. When we say tannin, it's not the most tannic.
No.
I mean, it has a bit of an edge.
That's the other thing I'd like to point out. I wish it was more of a tannic-based wine. Rob, as this opened up, talked about a mouthfeel that he liked.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
It's just kind of, the mouthfeel's kind of nondescript. I just want more body out of this.
Well, it's not a cab mouthfeel.
It definitely not. But it, it's got some elements to it that make it worthy of a good score. And 86, 87 is a good score. They're good wines.
That's
that
a good score.
That we would recommend buying again. Now, will we buy it again? There's a lot of other things that we like better than this. It doesn't work for me. But
I'm not buying this again.
If I was out and saw this as a glass pour,
and
there's a lot worse things you see out.
And the other thing was calibrate Merlot. You would drink this. No, this actually, if you're out, but they don't have this out.
Well,
also, Scott, if you were at the grocery, this isn't at the grocery. I don't see it at the grocery. The groceries that you might see it at have way better things.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If they got this into just your plain Jane.
I think the Meyer used to carry a True Grit. Maybe it wasn't this cab.
It might have been the Petite Sirah or something like that. But if they had that, that would actually be an alternative. Something to buy under 20. They don't really have anything that you would buy under 20, quite frankly, in my opinion, currently, in Cabernet. This would be something that you could do. I don't need to do that because I have, I don't know,
life.
150 bottles of Cabernet at home already.
Yeah.
That are better than this.
It's
just, and so I don't need to do that. But if you were going someplace, it's something that you would be familiar with and say, you know what? That's not bad. Let me grab that.
Or it's like, you know, if you got this as a gift, let's say at an office party for Christmas.
Okay, yeah.
You could almost have pride in regifting it. Not exactly. Not really. But, you know, you could regift it and go, hey, this is pretty good.
You could open it on a Tuesday night, though, and then vacuum bin it and just drink a glass through the week. You'd be fine doing that, too. It's not a wine that, you know, you're looking forward to the end of the week and you're going to enjoy yourself. You pull out True Grit.
Yeah.
This is more of the stressors of your week. This is not something that you celebrate achievements with. It's something that gets you through the current doldrums of your life.
87, 86, can you recommend this to the listeners?
Not at $17.99.
No, I can't either.
At $12.99, I would.
It has
not at
merit,
yeah.
But it just doesn't do it for me. And I don't think it's going to do it for most people.
The price, like I said, it's $5 too high. It just is.
For what it is.
Yeah.
If it was $12.99, we'd be going, yeah, this is good value.
Wouldn't be excited, but we say, you know what? This is a really good value, and we might look for it when we go out. And we might even buy it occasionally. But we're not going to have two or three bottles of it.
Nope. But honestly would say you're out at a restaurant, you want something red, and this is on the menu. You could do worse. You can do worse. There's plenty of restaurants that think they have good wines.
But how much are they charging for it?
I wouldn't pay a
penny over $30 a bottle for this at a restaurant.
No.
But they're going to charge $40.
So it's $17.99, they're paying probably $7-$8 bucks a bottle for it.
I'd say more like their 12. Price.
No,
11, 12.
No. Their markup's much.
Wholesale. Wholesale is 11 or 12 on this. That's why I'm saying they're going to be in the 40s.
So.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to ask our friend.
No. I rule thumb on this. You shave. I bet wholesale on this is $9.69 or $10. That's what it is. And they're going to sell this at $40, which is, you know, come on, man. I'm not going to pay $40 for it. Or $35. I'm not going to pay $35 for it. I'm not going to pay a penny over $30 in a restaurant. Even then, why would I buy it? So, I don't know.
I'm disappointed.
No, this is what I thought it was. It's about what I thought it would be.
Mendocino, we haven't done a lot of stuff from there. But what we did, we really liked. This is the first bottle from Mendocino that I didn't care for.
That's true.
It's what it is. It's fine.
It is fine. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Licensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu. But we will see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.